On Wednesday's front page, the police here in New York cleared the park where the Occupy Wall Street protesters had been camped out. We'll look at how negotiations between the city and the protesters ended before they even began. It's one of the most popular operations in sports medicine, but some researchers wonder if bone-shaving hip surgery really helps. And there's a brand new bookstore in Nashville. We'll look at who's putting your money on the line and why. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the police cleared the park that was the birthplace of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said health and safety conditions had become intolerable there. The city kept the park closed until after a judge had upheld the city's reasoning. Then the police allowed the protesters back in, but without their tents and sleeping bags, and now they won't be allowed to stay in the park overnight. Wednesday's Times says negotiations with protesters ended before they began. Bloomberg's top political aide met with five members of the protest on October 31st. The city wanted to talk about what it saw as an increasingly lawless campground. The protesters wouldn't talk about that. They wanted to talk about installing portable toilets. Times reporter Kate Taylor looks at the political fallout.
Mayor Bloomberg has had a quite complicated relationship with the protesters. He's made clear that he doesn't agree with their opinions about Wall Street, but he also considers himself a very strong defender of free speech. At one point, he said, you know, I think it'd be better if these people went out and created jobs rather than yelling and screaming, but if you want to yell and scream, we'll protect your right to do that. Some of the other mayoral candidates, the public advocate, Bill de Blasio, the Manhattan Borough president, Scott Stringer, have expressed sympathy and support for the protesters in the past, and they may have questions for the mayor about why this decision was made.
Times reporter Kate Taylor. Times reporter Kara Buckley says the sweep had people wondering, will the Occupy movement die if it doesn't have a park to occupy? Organizers said they've captured the public's imagination and no longer need to rely on taking over parks. Some said they were looking towards supporting political candidates. Some talked about what they called direct action, like withdrawing their money from banks. At the far left side of page one, a look at some of the most popular operations in sports medicine. Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez had it a couple of years ago. Sprinter Tyson Gay had it last summer. It's hip surgery that involves shaving away rough edges of bone that are rubbing against soft tissue. Some non-athletes say it lets them walk pain-free, but it is a difficult operation, and Dr. Harry Rubash of the Harvard Medical School says there's little evidence it's uniformly helpful. Libya's oil production is about 40% of what it was before the revolution began. But Times reporter Clifford Krause says the ports and refineries are getting going again. Officials are predicting that within 6 months, Libya will be pumping 1.6 billion barrels a day. Production at the big refinery in Zawiya is already close to pre-war levels. Some oil experts say the challenge now is for Libya's interim leaders to end the violence that's scaring away oil companies from overseas. After a local bookstore closed and the big Borders chain went bankrupt, Nashville had no place to buy books. That's changing thanks to best-selling novelist Ann Patchett. She's opening an independent bookstore that's the result of breakneck planning. She said she had no interest in retailing, but she also had no interest in living in a city that didn't have a bookstore. When it comes to official state foods, Florida has key lime pie, Idaho has potatoes, and Georgia has grits. Soon Arizona may lay claim to the chimichanga. Times reporter Mark Lacey says there's some dispute as to who created the first one. Charisse Johnson says it was her father in 1946. She now runs a chain of Mexican restaurants in Phoenix. Carlotta Flores, who runs a cafe in Tucson, says her great-aunt gets double credit. She not only invented it, she also named it. Ms. Flores says her great-aunt turned a Mexican curse into something that sounds whimsical. Inside Wednesday's Times, rights activists say the death toll from Monday's violent clashes in Syria was higher than first reported. They now say at least 50 people were killed, not 28 as they said on Monday. The foreign pressure on President Bashar al-Assad is increasing. Turkey used to be a close ally. Now it's threatening to cut off the electricity it sends to Syria unless Assad stops the violence against civilian protesters. Wednesday's Business Day says the borrowing costs for nations in the Eurozone jumped sharply. That's the latest sign contagion is spreading. Traders are shedding European sovereign debt as new data is showing economic growth is stalling. France and Germany pretty much kept Europe above water. In China, 16 scholars handed out what they call a grassroots peace prize. And the winner is Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. The scholars said he did the right thing by going to war in Chechnya back in 1999. They praised what they called his iron hand and his toughness. They said they valued his opposition to other military action, like the recent NATO bombing of Libya. Soon you can hear jazz at Lincoln Center, thousands of miles from Lincoln Center. Jazz at Lincoln Center is opening a jazz club in a hotel in Qatar, modeled on Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola here in New York. It'll have the same curved interior lines and the same glass wall looking out, except that it'll look out on the Persian Gulf instead of Central Park. It's the first of 5 jazz clubs and hotels around the world. Jazz at Lincoln Center has a deal with St. Regis Hotels and Resorts to open 4 more in new hotels. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.